Very good afternoon to you, Namibia, and welcome to On The Reader News Analysis right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I'll be with you up until 14:30, keeping you informed and inspired this Thursday afternoon. Now it's 3 minutes, 4 minutes past the hour of 1300 hours. It's Thursday, the 2nd of October, 2025, and the second day of a brand new month, and the momentum is already building. Now, if October is the turning point, that today is the day to set the pace. The year may be drawing closer to its end, but there's still time to realign, research, and take bold steps toward those goals that matter most. Now, right here on the Reader News Analysis, we don't just skip the surface of the news, we dig deeper. We unpack the stories behind the headlines, explore the why and the how, and connect it to all back to you, the people shaping and living Namibia's story every single day. And of course, your voice is part of the conversation. You can share your thoughts with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or WhatsApp, and make sure that you tune in and tell a friend to tune in via Eagle FM website and Eagle FM app. And remember, the world is going digital. You don't want to be left behind. Now, from the cool coastal breeze in Rudets to the golden sands of the Kalahari, from Windhoek's buzzing city streets to the villages of the north, wherever you're listening this Thursday afternoon, thank you for making Eagle FM your trusted companion. This right here is On The Reader News Analysis, Namibia's stories unpacked and connected to the people who live in. Let's get right into today's top stories. The Namibia Cybersecurity Incident Response Team has sounded the alarm over a growing wave of fake websites impersonating trusted Namibian institutions, including banks, government agencies, and other organizations. Now, the so-called spoofed websites are designed to look almost identical to legitimate platforms, tricking users into sharing sensitive information such as login details, credit card numbers, and personal data. Now, according to NumChrist, attackers with limited technical expertise can easily register domain names resembling authentic ones, for example, using numchrist.com instead of numchrist.na. They then replicate the design, the branding, and the layout of the real site and drive traffic through phishing emails, social media campaigns, or malicious adverts. Now, once on the spoofed site, victims are often confronted with urgent warnings such as your account has been locked or verify your login now to avoid suspension, pressuring them into providing confidential information without checking the authenticity of the message. Now, in recent months, well-known Namibian institutions have fallen a victim with cloned websites redirecting users to suspicious advertising domains, once if online platforms hosting fraudulent schemes and malware. Now, NumChrist has urged the public to stay vigilant by carefully checking web addresses for misspellings or unusual domains, avoiding unsolicited links in emails, adverts, and social media, using multi-factor authentication, that is MFA, for stronger account protection, and reporting suspected spoofed website to relevant authorities or NumChrist itself. Now, Mufaro Nesongano, executive for communication and consumer relations at NumChrist, said organizations must also play their part by monitoring their digital platforms and providing awareness training to staff and customers. And I quote, spoofed websites are often only detected after unsuspecting users have already fallen victim. Awareness and vigilance are our strongest lines of defense, Nesongano noted.
The Namibia Cybersecurity Incident Response Team, NAMCET, housed at the Communications Regulatory Authority of Namibia, has warned of a rise in fake websites impersonating trusted Namibian institutions such as banks and government agencies. These spoofed sites copy logos, layouts, and even web addresses to trick users into sharing sensitive information like passwords and bank details. In recent months, cloned websites redirected users to unsafe platforms carrying fraud and malicious software. NAMCET urges the public to carefully verify website addresses, avoid clicking on unsolicited links, enable multi-factor authentication, and report suspicious sites. Cybersecurity is a shared responsibility. Stay alert, stay secure, and protect your digital identity.
Also joining us to expand further on this topic and for the end users to be very vigilant and careful is lecturer of cybersecurity at NAST, that's Victoria Shakela. Let's take a listen.
A very good afternoon to you, Vicky Shakela, and welcome to On the Radar News Analysis.
Good afternoon, Dafa. I'm happy to be here.
Okay, thank you so much. Now, the Namibia Cybersecurity Incidents Response Team, also known as NAMCRIST, has sounded the alarm over a growing wave of fake websites impersonating trusted Namibian institutions, including banks, government agencies, and other organizations. Just how significant is this sounding of the alarm right now at this particular point in time?
This is a very significant alarm, and it's a very serious one in terms of cybersecurity or in terms of online protection and data protection, because if a user gets tricked into revealing their information on a fake website or a spoofed website, they are in a position to lose like their financial resources or to give out their personal data and so on. So it's a very serious alarm that we as a nation have to really take serious.
Vicky Shakela, what are some of those, perhaps maybe not too obvious, but what are some of those signs that do indicate that this website could be fake that we can be on the lookout for?
Yes. There are key symptoms or signs that a user or a web user can look out for to detect or to identify a fraudulent website or a spoofed website. So number one, I can give you a few tips. I will give from like an ordinary cyber user, and also because they are also technical methods and tools. So first I will give like the method just for ordinary users out there to safeguard themselves. So when you open a browser and you type in the website address, it's always important to thoroughly check the what we call the URL or the unified resource locator, like the address of the website. Check out like for spelling mistakes. There is always, because a spoofed website, because the domain is registered by the legitimate owner, so the spoofed website, the attacker is just trying to mimic. So it's not the actual domain, but it's made to look like the legitimate website. So that's why you have to check now that address. Like, for instance, I don't want to use examples because it might create. So, like, for instance, you are going to www.people.com. So they will always maybe the E at the end, they will make it a 3, or the O in the middle, then they will make it a 0. So it's a matter of like truly check like the URL when you are, especially if you followed a link from a different website, always make sure that you have checked the website address against misspellings, unusual characters. Like, for instance, it's very unusual to find a web address which contains characters such as a hash symbol, a 0, 8, and so forth. So it already points to a spoofed website, or like suspicious domain extensions. You like this, I mean, like normally, like Namibian websites normally end with .na or .com, .na or .org. So you will find those websites, they always have a suspicious domain extension like .ry, .what, whatever. So all those ones are signs to check in the website address or the URL. So number two, when you open a web browser or the website, it's always easy to check in the corner there for like, there's always a lock. This one is not always, but it's always important to ensure now, especially if you are transacting, maybe a shopping website, a banking website, you always want to ensure now that your communication is protected or it's encrypted, so that even if the attacker is in the middle of the website and your browser, they will not be able to see what exactly you are transacting. So, normally all legitimate websites will have a padlock, a locked padlock. It's always very important that users must check that the site they're communicating with, especially if you are communicating sensitive data, is having a locked padlock. So that's number two. And then also now, when you access the website, the content, check out like the content. The professionalism in spoofed website is always lacking. Yes. There is always like a poor grammar, low quality images. It's more just like mimicking the actual website. So there's always like just check like the content. If you are really not certain about a specific website, before you start sending information in between your browser and the website, you always want now to check like, this is an outdated logo. Like, you know, for this company just rebranded, but this website is still having the outdated logo.
Let's pause here for now and make room for a scheduled commercial break, but don't go anywhere. We'll resume shortly.
Save big at YouSave. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions, just $189.99, 4 packets Knorr thickening soup, all variants, $24, 700 milliliters crystal gold tomato sauce, $24.99, 750 grams Nola mayonnaise, a baggin at just $27.99, 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, $14.99, and 3 kilo bag selected pasta polana, $74.99. You save as good as the best for less.
A very good afternoon to you, Vicky Shakela, and welcome to On the Radio News Analysis.
Organizations are now being targeted for website threats. So, machine learning that are freely available on the internet. So, like for instance, while back then it was difficult for maybe somebody who is not really a technical expert to spoof a website, now it's very easy since AI tools make it possible for these people to spoof websites in a very short time, because to create a website, it could take time, but using with the use of AI tools and so forth, it kind of was made easy. So that's why you see this trend is on the increase, or most organizations are now being targeted for website threats. So we can also use AI now and machine learning algorithms to detect malicious patterns. This we can use, like for instance, to see when was this domain name registered. Like for instance, you know, the company has been in existence since the 90s. And then all of a sudden, when you use an AI tool or a machine learning algorithm, it seems like the domain was just registered last week. And you are like, no, there's no way that specific company could have just registered last week, because they have been in existence for a long time. So we can make use of, as much as the attackers are also using AI, so we can also use AI to benefit us in detecting this threat much more easier and much more faster and accurately. And also you can now use URL scanning tools and analysis just to check like if the site has been if this specific domain, like for instance that has been targeting your users, has it been blacklisted before or and so forth. And then also we can use domain lookup services. Like for instance, if a company is a Namibian registered, if you use like a tool that we call a Whois tool, it will tell you exactly who are the owners of the domain. And the moment you realize that there is a discrepancy in the owner's details, like the country of registration or country of establishment and so forth, then you are looking at a spoofed web site. So those are some of the technical, and then in most cases, to be able to detect accurately, we have to merge the like the lookout symptoms, and then combined now with AI tools and other technical tools, so mm-hmm. we will be in a better position now to detect, improve, and prevent spoofed websites. Mm. So those are some of the key highlights or some of the things to we need to look out in order to detect website spoofing.
I didn't know that you could actually detect it using AI. It just never crossed my mind now that you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, what exactly makes spoofed websites so dangerous compared to other online scams?
It's very dangerous because now you have a user who is on a spoofed website, but they believe they are communicating with a trusted entity. So which means they are in a position to disclose let me say it's a banking website. So they are in a position to enter their username, password, meaning they are communicating with a trusted banking site. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the attacker on the other side is collecting those details, like you enter your username and password, then maybe there's another form of authentication of the bank sends you like a one-time PIN. You also enter it on the same website. So now the attacker is in a position with all your authentication details. Now they will go to the legitimate website, the legitimate banking site, and then log in as if they are the legitimate owner of the bank account. Now, on the other side, the banking server will authenticate because these are valid login details. So that's why it's very dangerous because with like phone scamming, at least there are limitations. But the moment you are logged into the online banking site, mm-hmm. you are having more permission to perform specific tasks and activity like financial transactions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's very more dangerous because the loss is much more bigger than other types of scamming. So that's why website spoofing is very dangerous because now you the attacker has a trust of the user. Mm-hmm. And then in that position, the user will disclose anything that the attacker might be prompting them because they believe they are in connection with their actual site.
Yeah. What legal or enforcement challenges would you say still exist when it comes to shutting down I'm getting the pronunciation quite wrong, eh? Spoofed websites, especially if they are hosted outside Namibia. I mean, can we really, so far at this point in time, it's very hard to hold those people accountable, but then what perhaps needs to be implemented in order for us to be able to apprehend them?
Yeah, from a policy perspective or the law perspective, we need the, of course, the cybersecurity bill in draft, but hopefully we will have it soon. Then we will know now how to, for instance, bring these people to book. And then also another perspective is to really restrict like domain registration because one thing also what is also making it difficult is that an internet from its inception was meant for communication purposes, so security was not really the internet was not really designed with security in mind, so that's why there is no restriction on who can register a domain. So if the domain name is available, then anybody can take it. Or an attacker can register a domain which kind of looks like, so that's why you will find now some companies are trying like to register or to reserve all the domain names that kind of like resemble their actual domain names. Like my organization is wiki.com, so I'm also trying to take up wiki.na so that somebody doesn't take, and then my users will end up being confused.
Mm-hmm.
So the cybersecurity bill, if it comes into action, it will really, really help much into bringing these people to book. And then also we need to proactively, because now with many organizations, our cybersecurity measures are reactive. So we don't even prompt, is there a domain name that has been registered currently that kind of resembles our domain, especially if you are operating in a very sensitive environment like financial sector and other sectors or critical infrastructure sectors. So we are not really proactive. So we are always reactive when the user gets tricked and then they cry like their money has been stolen in that way and so forth.
Yeah.
That is when we will try to investigate. But if we continuously do probing, maybe it might not be, maybe there are a lot of resources that resource implications. But if we try to be more proactive in preventing some of these attacks, such as website spoofing, like organization, we'll be much in a better position to safeguard their system uses and as well as their overall cybersecurity posture.
Okay. And lastly, Vicky, what are some of those last words that you would want to send out to the public in order to be more vigilant with this spoofed website?
Yes. Number one, if you are really having second thoughts about a website, then better be safe than to continue and then later be sorry. So if you have some reservations about a website, that should already tell you that something is not right, and then maybe you want to get like a second confirmation that yes, this is truly our website. Like for instance, in most cases, even your browser sometimes warns you that this like gives you a warning. Do you really want to continue to this website? Because browsers are also now being developed with some security features and so on. So sometimes if your browser is giving you a warning, then I recommend you not to try and bypass. Because sometimes now the user is in a hurry. They want to transfer money and so on.
Yeah.
So if you need to get that warning, they will still click on continue because they kind of like want to proceed. So sometimes abide by those warnings that, like, for instance, in browsers. And then also just to be careful, like, if a website is prompting you to enter even information that otherwise you don't have to enter if you normally when you are doing your transaction, then please do not enter very sensitive information in case you don't have to enter those, because it's likely that an attacker is trying to be in a position where they are in full control of your account. And organization, from the organization perspective, is just I'm just emphasizing proactive measures so that the attack doesn't, or the attacker does not even get to go to the user. Like for instance, if we report the domain and then it gets shut down, then at least you are sure that your users are not going to fall victim of that spoofed domain or website.
Very interesting insight right there. And I sure hope that we take a note of those so that we don't fall victim to this. But then the less, Victoria Shakela, thank you so much for this information.
Thank you, Ndaafa. And then my last comment, maybe just to highlight that we are hosting our national Namibia National Cybersecurity Competition this weekend.
Okay.
So I'm inviting all the netizens, all the cyber experts. We will be having our competition. Our participants will, or our students will be from different universities and institutions will be now tested to really see that they are capable now when they go in the industry to even detect and prevent some of the threats that we are experiencing in the country. So all netizens are welcome to join. The opening ceremony tomorrow, and then the actual competition now will be on Saturday.
Okay.
So, yes.
Thank you so
much. Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. Pleasure is all mine.
Thank you.
Let's now make room for a commercial break, but we are back before you know it, so stay right there.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R. Lipura mengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjika. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. Now, in other news, Namibia and Cuba have taken a major step in strengthening their long-standing relations with the official launch of the inaugural session of the Namibia-Cuba Intergovernmental Commission on Bilateral Cooperation held earlier this week in Havana. Now, the session was co-chaired by Namibia's Minister of International Relations and Trade, that is Selma Ashipala Musavi, and Cuba's Minister of Foreign Trade and Foreign Investment, Oscar Perez Oliva Fraga. Now, in her opening reports, Ashipala Musavi described the commission as a reflection of the two countries' commitment to move beyond historical solidarity into practical, mutual, beneficial cooperation. Now, she noted that in today's global environment, shaped by geopolitical tensions, weakening multilateralism, and proving protectionism, Namibia and Cuba must leverage their friendship to expand economic partnerships and bilateral trade. She further called on technical experts to be innovative and strategic in identifying initiatives that could boost trade, attract investment, and deliver tangible benefits to the citizens of both nations. Now, the Commission is set to become a structured platform to identify priority sectors, develop joint projects, and ensure long-term people-centered cooperation. Namibia and Cuba share a history of solidarity that dates back to the liberation struggle, when Cuba offered military and diplomatic support against South African occupation. Now, formal diplomatic relations were established soon after Namibia's independence in 1990. And since then, Cuba has sent doctors, educators, and technical experts to bolster Namibia's public services in health, education, and other key sectors. Today, Namibia continues to support Cuba on the global stage, including opposing sanctions and reaffirming its inclusion in regional diplomacy. Now, the elevation of the former joint working group into a fully fledged intergovernmental commission signals a determination to deepen and formalize cooperation. Officials say the commission will not only honor the historic ties between the two nations, but also chart new avenues for economic growth, innovation, and shared prosperity. Let's now take a listen to Minister Selma Ashipala Musavi herself as she speaks at the inaugural session.
Honorable Minister, can you just tell us what transpired here and what we have been doing here ever since we arrived in Cuba?
Mm. Yes, we arrived 2 days ago for the inaugural session of the Intergovernmental Commission between Namibia and Cuba, a platform that we deem very important in enhancing our bilateral cooperation and trade. So we started with the senior officials meeting, and it was subdivided into 4 groups, one on economic affairs, one on social affairs, one on political affairs, and then one on infrastructure. We had a very successful session with content, really, in terms of our bilateral relations. What we wanted to do was to elevate and move from just bilateral relation, international solidarity between our two countries, but to also venture into bilateral trade between our two countries. We know that Cuba is under difficult conditions where they are facing an economic blockade. However, we have agreed that there is also much more that we can do, really, in the area of health. Cuba is very well known for their medical research, in the area of sports, in the area of agriculture, in the area of construction. These are all areas that speak to some of the national priorities that our president have declared. So we have signed 4 agreements in those areas, and we look forward to implementing the decisions that we have taken so that come 2027, when Namibia will be holding a second session, at least we can record progress made in enhancing socio-economic development between our two countries. So we are very, very much gratified with the outcome of our first inaugural session, especially that I met most of the ministers since my arrival, and I also had an opportunity to pay a courtesy call to the President of the Republic of Cuba, basically cementing our collaboration with Cuba.
Thank you, Honorable Minister.
And also speaking to us and engaging furthermore on this historical engagement is political analyst Ndumba Kamanya.
A very good afternoon to you, Ndumba Kamanya, and welcome to On the Radio News Analysis.
Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Now, of course, our Minister of International Relations and Trade, that is Selma Ashipala Musavi, just on Monday officially opened the inaugural session of the Namibia-Cuba Intergovernmental Commission on Bilateral Cooperation. Just what do you think about this at this particular time?
It is important to note that the inaugural meeting with our new minister, I think, is aimed at formalizing and deepening the historical relationship between the two countries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think from that perspective that it was a good platform to reconnect, but also to identify priorities, because that platform will serve as a structure for the two countries to identify what needs to be implemented, whether socially, culturally, or economically.
Mm. Now, I'm actually very surprised that the establishment of the commission is only done so now. I mean, with the good relationships that Namibia has been having with Cuba, it kind of surprises me that we haven't had a commission all up until now.
Well, that historic solidarity was still there, but it was a mere political, historical solidarity.
Mm.
But I think it has come along. The idea itself. So what we are seeing here is now just to put it in action and to concretize it.
Mm. Now, the minister said the current global environment characterized by geopolitical tensions, weakening multilateralism, and rising protectionist calls for a shift toward concrete economic partnerships and expanded bilateral trade. Just how do you explain this in layman terms on what the minister is actually trying to portray or send a message out to the public?
So she is calling for a mind shift. She's calling for the two countries to move away from political solidarity towards practical and economic benefit for the two countries. Basically, in short, that's what she is calling, so it's a call to action that the relationship should not just be based on the historical ties between the two countries, but it must be concretized towards practical and economic benefits for both countries. That is really, in short, what she is implying there.
Mm. She has also called for experts that were attending the session to be innovative and strategic in identifying initiatives that can boost trade and investment, of course, also opening up new avenues of collaboration in order to strengthen economic ties between the two countries. What are those, some of those innovations that you personally, Bebe, should you be given the platform to say, bring on the table your ideas that you would encourage to be explored?
Yeah, I think she is trying to ask the experts to innovate and to prioritize issues that are important for both countries, but also to share expertise that will benefit both countries, to identify investment priorities that are crucial for both countries. Yeah, so that is really, in a nutshell, that they need to be a combined effort, combined shared and shared expertise to tackle issues that are affecting both countries.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of medicine and health, Cuba has been doing very well in that aspect. And of course, Namibia has had that good relationship in that particular aspect. What are those particular areas in, or avenues that you think we could learn from Cuba that we could perhaps then put into action to help us and also help our health system better?
Yeah, well, Cuba is almost top in terms of healthcare. I think there are a lot that we can learn from them in terms of public health, in terms of how we train our medical doctors and our health practitioners. So those are the areas that we can probably learn from them. And I think probably one of the priorities that she's talking is really to identify how Cuba's long experience in healthcare can strengthening our healthcare system here in the country, whether training the healthcare practitioners and the medical doctors, but also research on health-related issues, medicine, including probably procurement and all those kind of things.
Yeah, yeah. That particular aspect that you speak about, including procurement, is also quite very important and significant. Yeah. Now, could the agricultural sector also present opportunities for collaboration, particularly in food security and agricultural technology exchange?
Yeah, it could be also an opportunity. I don't think Cuba is really very much in that area, but they have tried for quite some time to make sure that the country has food securities, and I think that they probably have more agricultural universities than what we do here, and that they have quite vast knowledge in terms of agricultural aspect. Yeah, anything on the table that will strengthening our systems here, it's good if Cuba can help us move into and towards that direction.
Mm-hmm. I'm also thinking perhaps Namibia can learn from Cuba's renewable energy projects, especially in solar and wind power now, given Namibia's own resources and the sun that is very bright for us on this side of the continent. What do you think about that?
Exactly, exactly. As I say, that anything that is good for our processes and systems is good to emulate and learn from. Yes, they do have a green hydrogen or renewable energy project.
Yeah.
As we are venturing into this area, I think that expertise is needed, whether training our experts there or, you know, they advise the way to go, including the challenges and the prospects.
Now, of course, the relationship between Namibia and Cuba could serve as a model for Namibia's bilateral relations with other countries beyond Cuba. What are those particular countries, maybe, that you would say we should also leverage on to tap on the benefits, whether it's social or economic benefits that will come with that strengthening of bilateral relations with those particular countries? What are some of those particular countries, and what would you say?
Well, China comes to mind.
China, hey.
We also have that historic political solidarity. So China is big in terms of building infrastructures, railways, and all those kind of things. So I think we can tap in from that relationship that we have. But we must also not just think of the countries that we have historical political solidarity, but we must think out of the box to widen or enhance our bilateral relationship with other countries that we might not have political and historical solidarity.
Yeah.
So it's good to widen the pool of countries that we can learn from, that we can tap from their experiences and expertise and skills and knowledge. Yeah, so instead of us confining ourselves to those countries that we had historical ties, so it is important that we must be open-minded, but we must also not just depend on other countries. We must be innovative. We are a small state, but we can do big things that other countries also can emulate and learn from.
That's true. Ntobakamanya, your final sentiments or words in regards to this conversation that we just had now?
Well, I will say that I hope that they will come with a clear implementation roadmap, instead of just a symbolic talking of this meeting. It is important that it must be put in practice to make sure that what have been decided there are implemented properly.
And so that we can reap the tangible results of that. Thank you so much, Ntobakamanya, for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis.
Thank you for having me.
Okay.
And with that, we pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace, and we'll be back with you more. Now, should you want to partake in the news analysis, please dial in on studio number 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to dainjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nuneudo o tukwetira o special ngekashia kengejefa o marudi dai loka opone ujendi fenawa nokumona o ijabo iri nawa ninge fada fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatu imwe bali heri nola natu heri bali no heri ileko berewa nora itatu natu bali o itatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM di ai.
Welcome back. Ondawa Town Council held a groundbreaking ceremony for a new road construction project in Extension 7 on Tuesday. At the ceremony, Ishmael Namgongo, Ondawa Town Council CEO, pointed to the importance of this road for the town's development, similar to other projects undertaken by the council. Meanwhile, Nicodemus Amadila, a member of the management committee, delivered the keynote address on behalf of Ondangwa Mayor Pavo Amwele at the groundbreaking ceremony for the road extension. Now, this road will connect Washamba Mall to the main road and aims to alleviate the traffic congestion caused by the mall. Let's take a listen to Nicodemus Amadila.
Deliver this statement on the occasion of the groundbreaking ceremony for the construction of a pavement road here in Ondangwa Extension 7. Road infrastructure remains a critical priority for the Ondangwa Town Council. Over the past 5 years, Council has consistently allocated funds in each financial year to support road development. I believe many of you will agree with me when I say that. Now more than ever, Ondangwa Town Council has delivered a record number of pavement roads across this town. While we are continuing to upgrade gravel roads in many parts of the town, especially in our informal settlements, the pavement roads construction has become a central focus. The areas such as Orundo, Extension 1, Extension 16, Extension 24, Extension 25, and Extension 26 has been already seen their roads being upgraded to bitumen standards. Currently, two major projects are underway, one in Extension 28, which is formerly known as Onguta, and this one here in Extension 7. When you are talking about Extension 7, it's also formerly known as Dara or Ponore. I'm told that roads upgrading soon is starting for some roads in Extension 17 at Namibia Bow Houses. As a council, we ask ourselves, how can we contribute to our country's national development programs, such as NDP 6 or Namibia Development Program 6 and other programs of governments? The success of national initiatives depends on the active participation of every institution in Namibia. And Ondangwa Town Council is no exception. Our strategic plan has been aligned with the higher level deliverables of government and mandate of local authorities. Every program we implement is designed to benefit our residents and contribute to both regional and national development objectives. And government priorities such as agriculture,
youth empowerment, education, health, land, housing, and sports. If you move around this town, you can see development anywhere. You can see land being prepared, housing being constructed, stadium being constructed, parks being developed, of course, tar road being constructed everywhere. This is our contribution to a national development, and we ask all the residents to start making little contribution towards the development of this country. Today, we mark the beginning of yet another transformative project, a Bitumen road that will significantly reduce traffic congestion along the main road. This project will not only benefit the residents of Extension 7, but also also the general public by improving the mobility and providing the easier access to the key destinations. It is our hope the construction of this road will boost the accelerate private sector's investment in this area and hope to see property owners in these areas developing their land and construct more shops and more offices for the benefit of our local economy. On that note, now this is the mayor. It is now my honor to officially declare the commencement of this important project officially open. I thank you.
And with that, let's pause right here now and take a trip to the marketplace. When we do return, we'll be telling you what's making headlines in terms of economic indicators and trading economics.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. You are tuned into On the Reader News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. And now for economic indicators. $1 today is equals to 17 Namibian dollars and 19 cents. €1 is equals to 20 Namibian dollars and 20 cents. £1 sterling is equals to 23 Namibian dollars and 17 cents. €1 Swiss franc is equals to 21 Namibian dollars and 60 cents. €1 Australian dollar is equals to 11 Namibian dollars and 35 cents. And €1 Botswana pula is equals to 1 Namibian dollar and 30 cents. Now moving over to trading economics. Now, the top commodity users today in agricultural commodities is palm oil at 1.07% and canola coming in at 0.54%, with the biggest losers in this category being rice at minus 0.81%. Now, in metal commodities, the top commodity gainers are copper at 1.48%, platinum at 1%. 0.23% and gold at 0.04%. Energy commodities, the top commodity losers are natural gas at minus 2.24%. Gains are led by natural gas UK GBP at 0.52%, crude oil WTI at 0.20% and Brent blend crude oil at 0.16%. Turkish trade deficit widened to $6.9 billion in September 2025 from $5.2 billion in the same month of the previous year. That is according to preliminary data from the Trade Ministry. Now, this marked the largest gap since June as imports increased by 8.8% year on year to $29.5 billion, while exports rose at a softer pace of 3% to $22.6 billion. From January to September, exports rose by 4.1% to 200.625 billion US dollars, while imports grew by 5.9% to 267.651 billion US dollars, widening the trade gap to 67 billion US dollars. FTSE 100 was a little changed on Thursday, pausing after hitting a record high in the prior session. Now, Experian was the biggest drag, sliding over 5% after Fair Isaac unveiled a new program allowing mortgage lenders to calculate and distribute FICO scores directly to customers. Analysts at Jefferies warned the move could cut credit bureaus' ability to profit from reselling scores, potentially denting earnings by 10 to 15%, offsetting losses. 3i Group jumped after reports it may sell French IT firm Vernex in a deal worth up to 1.3 billion euros. Now, Tesco rose more than 1.5% as it lifted full-year profit guidance, reporting a 4.3% rise in the first half sales, driven by strong performance in the UK and Ireland and great gains in market share. Now, Britain's largest grocer said it was benefiting from competitive pricing strategies and a stretch of favorable weather. Bitcoin climbed toward 120,000 US dollars in early October, marking a 7-week peak as political uncertainty and expectations of further interest rate cuts in the US supported a demand. Now, the US government entered its first shutdown in nearly 7 years after lawmakers failed to agree on temporary funding. With the closure expected to last at least 3 days and delaying the release of September's non-farm payrolls report, separate ADP data showed an unexpected loss of 32,000 private sector jobs in September compared with forecast for a 50,000 gain, underscoring labor market weakness and strengthening the case for additional Federal Reserve easing. Future markets now imply a 99% chance of a 25 basis point cut this month, with odds pointing to another reduction before year end. Now, Bitcoin also benefited from risk on sentiments in equities, bolstered by OpenAI's deal with South Korea's Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, which reinforced optimism surrounding artificial intelligence. Now, that's what we had for you today in terms of trading economics. Let's pause here now, take a trip to the marketplace, and then when we do return, we'll be telling you what's making headlines in terms of news beyond the borders. Now, remember, you can also partake in the news analysis right here on the radar analysis. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. 083-288-401. I'll see you after the commercial break.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ivo kike kovana kile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe bali heari nola natu heari bali no heari ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu omala felane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back, and now it's time for News Beyond the Borders of Namibia. We start off regionally, move over to continental news. Thereafter, we bring you some international news. Now we're starting off in South Africa, where the president of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa, has received letters of credence from 18 ambassadors. Let's take a listen.
SABC News reporter Kaihle Kumalo is at the presidential guest house to get reaction for us following the interception of the global Sumud flotilla and other matters pertaining to South Africa. Good afternoon. Kaihle, just share with us the very latest, or at least a sentiment from the presidency.
Well, certainly a very important occasion here in Pretoria. Just a short while ago, the president did receive those letters of credence from their ambassadors, the heads of mission deployed by various capitals from the DRC to Serbia and many other countries as well, really showing the interest to South Africa. But joining us now is the presidential spokesperson, Mr. Magwenya. And I suppose, sir, the very first point where we need to get to, we've seen the statement from the presidency talking about the fate of those South Africans, the flotilla that was heading to Gaza. At this point in time, what is the key message coming out from the highest office in the land?
Well, Kai, the key message is that that flotilla was in international waters, and therefore the state of Israel had no right to abduct individuals from international waters. We've made a call for their immediate release, not only the South Africans, but as well as the other nationals who are part of this aid effort of taking humanitarian aid, desperately needed humanitarian aid, to Gaza. And in recognition of that, we expect that Israel must adhere to the prescripts of international law, must adhere to the provisions of humanitarianism in terms of ensuring that this aid reaches the people that so desperately need it. That's really the key message. Going on from here, our officials will be working to determine the state of our nationals and find out where exactly they are, with a purpose of providing consular services to them and securing their safe release out of the abduction that has been effected by Israel.
Mm. And just once again, Mr. Magwenya, are we in regular contact with these citizens, especially because we know the state of Israel? We've seen the previous flotillas, you know, the likes of Greta and many others as well. And in this case, Nkosi Mandela and many other activists. What's the word are you getting from your diplomatic mission in Tel Aviv?
At this stage, as you know, we don't have much presence on the ground in Israel, which was necessitated by concerns of safety for our staff there. However, through our mission in Jordan, we are working on determining their safety, their health, as well as providing consular services so that we secure their release. It's still early to say now as to what the process will unfold, how the process rather will unfold, but we're making every effort to ensure that we secure the release. You know, this is a peaceful effort. These were unarmed individuals who are taking aid, and therefore we see no reason why they should be met with any form of aggression whatsoever.
And another very critical issue, sir. Obviously, the nation is mourning the passing of South Africa's ambassador in France, Mr. Natim Teto. We've seen tributes coming from the colleagues from the ANC and many other parties as well. But in terms of now the way forward, and we know that this is pending investigation in Paris, any just way forward at this particular point in time?
Well, as soon as the cause of death has been officially determined by the French authorities, the process to repatriate Ambassador Mthethwa's body will then ensue and begin in consultation with the family members who have now joined Ms. Pilsiwe Buthelezi, the wife of Ambassador Mthethwa, in Paris to provide support to her. And so as a government, we will be working closely with the French authorities, with the family, to ensure that that process happens as soon as possible. At this stage, we are waiting for that official determination of the cause of death. And once that has been done, we will then begin with the process of repatriation.
And Mr. Magwenya, you just came back from the U.S., a very lengthy session, the U.N. General Assembly. And a short while ago, we saw that now the trade instrument between sub-Saharan Africa and America has expired. We know of a very critical role it plays, whether you're looking at agriculture and many other products, but also for job creation in South Africa, and also it's a mutually beneficial instrument. Both parties are benefiting. Any word from Washington, D.C. thus far?
Kaya, maybe let me start by saying, post the Oval Office meeting at the White House between President Trump and President Ramaphosa, we have escalated our engagements with various role players in the United States, in government, or in the administration, as well as in Congress. And throughout those engagements, we have received the same message with respect to the commitment to continue with the AGOA trade scheme. Secondly, the support for South Africa's continued participation. Obviously, as you know, AGOA is governed through an act of Congress, and Congress must then meet to pass that act. There are other processes currently taking a lot of Congress's attention with respect to budgetary processes in the U.S. We hope once those processes have been concluded, then this matter will be finalized. At this stage, we remain deeply encouraged by the assurances that we have received, even in meetings, in bilateral meetings that President Ramaphosa held in New York with some congressional leaders, as well as American captains of industry who affirmed their support for the scheme as well as for South Africa's continued participation in the scheme.
Before we let you go, sir, and also in the interest of time, a lot of the ambassadors inside showing interest to come to South Africa for the G20 come November, showing also the very critical voice of South Africa in the Global South. Just your reaction to this quickly.
So Kaya, I'm going to remind you of an interesting fact, and it still remains, that South Africa, or Pretoria, is the second largest host of foreign missions in the world after Washington. And so that tells you the sort of stature of our country, the position it occupies in various global fora, as well as the importance of our hosting, or rather of our leadership and presidency of the G20. We've seen strong resonance with the theme that we've chosen. We have seen support being expressed on some of the issues as South Africa. We've chosen to champion issues of debt, for example, issues of sustainability. At this time, when the world is confronted by so many challenges, we are getting a sense that the world wants to come together, work collaboratively, in a manner that ensures no one is left behind. And so it was not entirely surprising to see the ambassadors expressing on behalf of their countries, as well as their heads of states and government, the kind of support that has been expressed. It's the same experience President Ramaphosa has held.
Meanwhile, still in South Africa, Mpumalanga hosts 2-day investment and mining conference.
Mpumalanga provincial government is hosting a 2-day investment and mining conference in Middelburg. The conference hopes to raise about 50 billion rands in investment opportunities. Dumelo Machoko watching that story for us this hour. So Dumelo, lots of conversations to come in the form of how does the province really bolster its muscle in terms of bringing all of those investments to the province?
Well, indeed, Mxolisi, actually, there's going to be a 2 days conference here in Middelburg, where it's very crucial for the province that is going to be attracting more investors to come into the province. You know that this province is known for coal and also for mining, which contribute about 20% of the provincial gross domestic product, but also the tourism industry, but also and also the steel, which is also part of the what is being produced, especially here in Middelburg. We know that we are a coal country, but also we are also known for tourism, but also for steel. So the next 2 days is going to be very crucial for the provincial government to actually try and get investors to come here, but also to open their pockets, especially for these investors that are invited here to open their pockets to invest in their province. But also they are hoping that this investment will go beyond not only for this industry, but also for other industries that are still out there. You know that the renewable energy is also one of the industry that they would want to attract. You already know that one company is already opened. They have already started constructing wind turbines, which is going to be contributing to the national grid from next year. But let's now speak to the premier of the province, Mr. Mandla Ndlovu, just to talk to us about the conference that is taking place for the next 2 days. Just talk to us about why this conference and why did you want to bring it to Middelburg?
Yeah, we are facing crisis in many fronts. These two shall pass. Yeah, as a province, we have got also our own challenges. We know that the rate of unemployment is very high. We are at 84%. Poverty is still very high at 52.5%. A youth graduate unemployment is at 16%. We also have got commitments that have been made by big companies in terms of their social investment. So we decided that we must convene this conference so that we'll engage. We must have a dialogue with big companies that are already investing in the province and those that we want to invite them to come and participate here in the province. So that is the main aim, that today we'll have this engagement with big companies. We want them to invest in Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga is very strong in terms of coal, is very strong in terms of agriculture, tourism. We said that we want to diversify the economy of the province. So we are inviting big companies to come and invest here in Mpumalanga. So that is the purpose of this investment. And the target for us is to at least get pledges of more than 50 billion in the province. But they should not come.
Meanwhile, moving on to Zambia, Zambia and the Shanghai Cooperation Organization have signed a memorandum of understanding in order to boost trade and investment cooperation.
Zambia has continued to strengthen its investment climate. The Zambia Development Agency ZDA and Shanghai Cooperation Organization SCO Economic and Trade Relations Center have signed an MOU to promote trade cooperation in energy, agriculture, manufacturing, and services. Speaking during the virtual MOU signing, ZDA Director General Albert Halwampa highlighted Zambia's vast investment opportunities.
So there are a lot of opportunities in mining, in agriculture, manufacturing, tourism, energy. So we are inviting you to take part and participate in all these sectors that I've mentioned. We offer very competitive incentives as Zambia through the Zambia Development Agency, starting from the customs duty side, the corporate income tax side, the VAT and other tax concessions.
SCO Director Wang Ruchai says the partnership will strengthen trade and investment between the two countries.
And with the joint efforts of both sides, we will surely achieve innovation in cooperation and win-win results in development, We will work together to give full play to our respective advantages, explore more cooperation fields and models, promote the implementation of cooperation projects.
Later, ZDA signed another MOU with Southern Africa Institute for Policy and Research, SIPA, to establish broad-based cooperation framework for joint initiatives between the two institutions. Areas of focus include policy research, investment promotion, private sector linkages, and business development.
We want to go to destinations after having evidence of why should we go there. What kind of impact, JVs, partnerships, are we going to bring into Zambia across all the sectors that we promote? Also, this MOU is going to promote business development among us, our SMEs, very, very important.
We are very thrilled that we can formalize this and forge a partnership ahead which can contribute to evidence-based policy making decisions.
Rosemary Kamanga, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Still in Zambia, ICD launches, that is Industrial Development Corporation, IDC, has launched intra-group marketplace to boost collaboration and economic synergies.
The Industrial Development Corporation has unveiled a new digital platform that connects its 36 subsidiary companies in a move expected to boost trade and strengthen the group's contribution to the economy. Known as the IDC Intragroup Marketplace, the platform is designed to promote trade within the group, reduce costs, and improve efficiency. Finance Minister Stumbeko Msokotwani, who was represented by Madison Riveve, says the marketplace will boost profits and dividends while also increasing the IDC's group overall contribution to Zambia's economy.
As government, we are proud of these achievements, which affirm that IDC companies have the capacity to compete, to innovate, and to deliver real value to the Zambian people.
IDC Chief Executive Officer Cornwell Muleya says the platform addresses the limited growth in trade between IDC subsidiaries, providing a secure and exclusive space for internal sourcing.
The opportunity to unlock billions of kwacha in both savings and additional revenues, imagine what we can do together if those are channeled through our intra-group platform. We will build not only sustainable growth, but also financial resilience in all our entities.
Several IDC companies, including ZICB, Zamtel, and ZISClife, have welcomed the initiative, saying it will strengthen partnerships and create new business opportunities.
We need to be deliberate about growing our services. We will all be speaking and singing from the same hymn book.
The theme for today, One Group, One Vision Through Synergies, cannot come at a better time. We are driving close collaboration with our counterparts within the group to achieve what we have set as our strategic objective.
It's a digital tool that can empower industrialization, foster self-reliance, and ensure Zambian businesses remain at the heart of Zambia's economic story.
The marketplace is guided by the theme, One Group, One Vision, Grow Through Synergies, reflecting IDC's ambition to build stronger industrial linkages across the country. Ruth Chainda, ZNBC News, Lusaka.
Uganda expands national grid in order to reach more households.
This is Buvuma Island on Lake Victoria, one of the places in Uganda that's not connected to the national grid. For years, fishermen on this island have depended on small solar power equipment to store their fish, which often isn't reliable. Now the government is scaling up power connections at lower costs to thousands of households across the country, including remote areas like this one.
We could observe that the population is struggling to make payments. And if you have to take, say, 20,000 connections, in the case they stretch themselves, it would mean that the maximum you can do a year, if you happen to do it, might be about 200,000 connections. But we've scaled up. We're looking at 300,000 minimum.
Just about 60% of Ugandans are connected to the national grid, according to Uganda's Energy Ministry. And with a $638 million loan secured from the World Bank, the government hopes to achieve 100% connection rate by 2040. Uganda now generates 2,000 megawatts of electricity with the recently commissioned Karuma Power Dam. But with ambitious industrialization and infrastructure projects underway, more power is needed.
That is our target, to get 52,481 megawatts. To be able to power the standard gauge railway, to be able to power transportation, because we want to change the motorcycles, the transportation in general, plus enhanced value addition on the agriculture side, all that requires electricity.
The electricity distribution company is now revamping old connection lines to meet the growing demand and expanding the network to rural areas.
The government's goal is to have everyone have access to clean and renewable energy by reducing dependence on fossil fuel. The project is a significant step towards transforming millions of livelihoods and achieving economic development by attracting multi-billion investments. Isabel Nakiria, CGTN Kampala, Uganda.
Meanwhile, potential of Africa's gas reserves were explored during Africa Energy Week.
LNG projects that speed up offshore production to LPG terminals and distribution hubs, empowering SMEs and women-led enterprises, gas is fast becoming the backbone of Africa's just energy transition. It dominated discussions at the African Energy Week in Cape Town.
We're seeing these fantastic new reserves potentially in Mozambique, Tanzania, here in the Orange Basin, originally in the Utanika Basin in South Africa, and Namibia. The issue, of course, is, you know, can they be monetized, and, you know, how much is available to build a market domestically versus the export market opportunity.
Gas is not only a cleaner energy source, but also aligns with the continent's climate goals and long-term net zero targets.
We need to go and develop those reserves. And I mean, if you look at Namibia in the last 4 years, 75% success rate, right? So South Africa, actually, we are in a pole position, and we need to make sure that we develop these resources, but we do it in a responsible way.
Oil, however, remains central to energy security and economic stability. Angola, Uganda, and Nigeria, the continent's top producers, are set to add more than 1.2 million barrels of oil a day to production as domestic demand climbs.
You're looking at significant amounts of revenue that are generated to be able to put into socioeconomic projects. We're looking at education, for example, healthcare. A lot of the oil and gas producing nations do use oil revenue to be able to drive their budgets.
Expanding refining capacity is also key for Africa to capture more value from its natural resources. While international investors remain central, pressure is mounting for African governments to take the lead.
We are looking at introducing another dynamic to our economies, namely talking about attracting investment and financing, improving the investment conditions by introducing reforms. We have seen a resurgence of projects in Angola. We see also investment in Namibia, the Congo, Gabon. So we see things are coming on stream, which is very positive for the continent.
The question is no longer if Africa can power its own future, but how fast. The projects are underway, the gas is in the ground, and the political will is taking shape. The real test now is speed and scale to match supply to growing demand. Julie Shara, CGTN, Cape Town.
Meanwhile, Bamako's African Textile Night blends heritage fabrics with modern fare.
African Textile Night opened with a dazzling display of color, texture, and heritage. For 7 days, designers paid tribute to the continent's fabrics.
We transform Bogolan fabric into a variety of items, including the large bubus worn by Mali's first president, Modibo Keita, as well as shirts, suits, trousers, bags, shoes, and scarves. We create traditional items and adapt them to meet the needs of a new generation.
We produce many items made from African textiles, such as embroidery and African wax prints. We also make clothing from Malian Bogolan. As designers, we must be capable of creating many things. We design clothing for both men and women.
The event also provided a platform for models of various origins to present the creations of young African designers.
I'm very happy with the outfit I'm wearing. I'm also very proud to promote the expertise and excellence of the African fashion industry. I believe that wearing traditional clothing is a great way to promote our culture and identity.
Beyond the catwalk, African countries are increasingly investing in transforming their fabrics, creating value locally, and revolutionizing their fashion industries.
Textiles play a key role in promoting our culture, as they are part of our heritage that we must be proud to protect. The sector also creates jobs, thereby reducing poverty. We must not forget its significant economic impact on the region.
For a week, the African Textile Village welcomed thousands of visitors from nearly 20 countries. The message of Bamako's Textile Night was clear. African fabrics are not just raw materials. They're resources of identity, pride, and economic power. Ian Kenyo, CGTN.
Meanwhile, Tunisia receives brand new buses from China. And with that, let's actually come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Voters Education Program. Goodbye.
Onda karahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka ne data no shoyo o utungwa rakavahupi. O netuwe kaimwe, o kufutarumwe, o kuyinyengarumwe, o kujapandali. Fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga o netuwe kaoyo hai dira dira ya fange. O mafikwa amwe, o handi streaming, o mafikwa amwe, o handi popi. Oma fikuwa mwe, ohandi ni gaishe, poshika ntoshi mwe. Pamwina parateza, oinda holora, ameha ishipangere, osho, paumwene. Dira dira, oma kota fanoni, data, momkaro wiri. Mwana parika, okutuma koutungaraka, okustreaminga, no kudenga pamwina parates. Konga, parates, Namibia. Always pretend.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the R.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudete okoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeza shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijawa ili nawa ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa mura etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.